Those of us in law enforcement know how important nonverbal communication is on a daily basis when it comes to talking with a citizen or interviewing and interrogating a suspect. My next guest is Eric Standup. Eric is an expert when it comes to faces. He decodes faces and facial expressions similarly to the work of a body language expert. Whether we like it or not, our face and micro expressions can tell a world about us. Eric has worked with CEOs to transform their companies and law enforcement consultation for years. By concentrating on cues like behavior, gestures, facial expressions, and micro expressions, face reading adds a new layer to police interrogation. This is such a fascinating show. Many takeaways next on the CJ Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Patrick here. Welcome back to the CJ Evolution podcast, the number one criminal justice podcast out there. Because of you, the listener and supporter, we continue to grow. Thank you so much for your support. Big shout out to all the brave men and women out there protecting this great country, their communities every day from various threats. Do not believe what some in the media and other people are telling you. You are loved. You are cherished. Thank you for doing the fantastic work that you do. Keep it up. Special thanks to our sponsor, Detectachem. This amazing and innovative company is helping protect our most valuable assets out there. That's the brave men and women who protect our country, protect our communities every day. Mobile threat detection is available for the palm of your hand, detecting illicit drugs, detecting explosives. This amazing technology can be yours in your organization. If you head over to the website, cgevolution.com, you're going to see a link to Detectachem. See how they can help you better protect your troops. Oh man, I am so excited that my book, Evolve, is coming out pretty soon. It's in the final stages with the editor, and it is a micro book, folks, and that is a small book. And I made it that way for a reason. I wanted it to be easily digestible. You can read it in one setting, but it's chock full of great advice, suggestions, tips, advice on how you could become not only a better criminal justice professional, but a better you. Stay tuned. Check out the promo link on LinkedIn, Facebook, on my website. You're going to love it. I am so jazzed, and you're going to be the first to know when it is released. On to the show with Eric Standup. Hello, everybody. I am very excited to have my next guest on the show. Eric Standup is in the house. Eric, are you there, sir?
Hi, thank you for having me, Patrick. Very nice to meet you.
Well, thank you for being here, sir. I gave a little bit of an intro at the start of the show. Can you tell the listener a little bit more about your background, sir?
Well, my background, I'm a face reader, but to be honest, that is what everybody does. I mean, everyone is a face reader, but this is my professional background. So for 15 years, I'm hired by companies, organizations, but also by law enforcement to help them in navigating and negotiating any human on this planet when necessary. I was, of course, not born as a face reader, or that was not my first profession. I come from the entertainment business, so I worked in marketing for computer gaming companies.
Now, I know the backstory. I know the catalyst that got you started on your journey, sir. But you were in corporate America. You were working in the entertainment industry, like you said. Now, what was the catalyst? What was the change that got you started on your path for the listener?
Pretty interesting, because I was never really interested in people. So I was more interested in my career and my own personality. And maybe I was interested in numbers, every number by the end of the month. But at one point I got sick. So you can call it burnout. You could also say I had a list of 14 diseases. Jeez. And they more or less forced me to stop my career the way it was. So by, first of all, running away from all the stress that I had, I experienced a little bit myself and the world. And in South Africa, I had a first face reading experience. So I more or less met an old guy in a pub, in a bar close to the beach. And this guy didn't really look serious to me, but I had a bet running with two friends of mine. And
of course you did.
This guy will know you. So I was a CMO, and as a CMO, being recognized and judged, I would say, or quoted by an old guy without teeth in his mouth and a lot of beer around him, that was a hard time for me. I was already in my late 37. So it was not like that I really wanted to do that. But we had a bad running, and the guy told me a lot of things about myself that more or less shocked me, because how is that possible that he can see diseases in my face? How does that work? Yeah. And I wanted to know. So I flew back to Europe just with the hope that I will find someone by navigating through internet. But again, was not possible. Mm-hmm. 15 years ago, you couldn't find a face reader in Europe.
Sure.
Although it was possible, but not in the internet. So by being a student of a nutritionist school to have a better health, to be in shape, I had a break in one of the lessons, and the teacher told me, Eric, please do not drink that much coffee anymore. Yeah. And I said, yeah, it's because of caffeine and all that. And she said, no, I can see in your face you have issues with your intestine. And I said, in my face? Uh-huh. Where? And so she explained it, and I said, okay, where did you learn that? And, well, that was more or less the start of the whole thing, because she gave me a phone number, and I met this guy, and I became a student. That was 15 years ago.
And it's amazing. I mean, and we're going to have your TEDx interview that's, mm-hmm. it'll be up in the show notes, but it's truly amazing. The listeners have to watch it, but really amazed me when you went and saw this old guy, very wise old man, is that you were pretty skeptical until he started hitting things, like you said, Eric, some deep things that nobody knew about.
I'm still a skeptical guy. Sometimes that helps me as well. And skepticism is also the art of questioning, right? And I have a lot of questions still. So when I look in faces, I have questions, or questions, people give me questions, and then I have to explore the face to get answers. Mm-hmm. So to have the wisdom of this old guy, because he learned techniques that we have already forgotten, and I mixed them later on with things that are now science, was maybe the unique style of face reading that I do now.
Yeah. And how come this isn't more mainstream, Eric? Maybe it is. You tell me if I'm not, but I'm just, you know, I started researching you a couple of days ago, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. How come more people aren't talking about this? I know we got technology and facial recognition and stuff like that, but is that it?
And it's good that we have facial recognition now, because that helps me a lot. Because 5-6 years ago, I was a freak for a lot of people. Yeah. So 5-6 years ago, I was the esoteric guy who does fortune telling. Although I'm absolutely not from that planet. So I observe people and have a clue about what they think, what they do, what is their motivation, what is their personality. And that is what everybody does. So it's very interesting that we try to hide behind a mask or behind a title or clothes or any kind of image. And when it comes to ourselves that is expressed in a face, we say, oh no, that cannot work. Mm-hmm. Although all of us are face readers, we look into faces.
I love what you say in your TEDx about who you are cannot be seen on social media, but it can be seen in your face. And you hit it right on the head, Eric. I mean, there's so many people hide behind social media, and you can't hide your face.
No. And you know this when you deal with actors. Mm-hmm. A lot of actors are good in playing themselves. So I would say 80 to 90% of the actors just play their own character or personality. A really good actor is able to melt with a role and can play any kind of character. But there are not so many of them. And even those actors need breaks in between, like 5-minute breaks, 10-minute breaks, to then again adopt the micro expression and the facial expression of this other role they're in. And that's why I'm usually telling you, it's even easier to fake the body language. You know, I teach politicians as well in body language. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty often laughing about newspapers writing about that, because I know I do not read who is the stronger guy. I do not read who was in charge or superior in that moment. The only thing I read is who was the better student. Mm-hmm. Because by seeing that picture, I see who learned his lessons better. Body language is very strong when the person who is observed does not know that we observe him.
Yeah.
because well, then we are very natural.
And I want to get into how this benefits law enforcement, but you, in a minute, but you must, like, I mean, you're on the plane all the time, going around the world, training and mm-hmm. talking about this. Do you just sit there when you're in an airport? Maybe this is a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway. Are you just constantly scanning faces?
It is not a dumb question, but usually I'm asked by women. It's a typical female question usually, because the women are very often aware and they have more fears and insecurities. Maybe they believe more in it and that's why that's the case. Or maybe it deals with things like eyelashes and makeup and all that. I don't know. But it's a very female question. No, if I would read all the time, I would more or less overstimulate my five senses. Just imagine you have a car dealer, let's say a guy who sells car, and he would stop at every corner to check cars that are parked, how old are they, how much mileage, how much they cost, sure. Whatever, color. No, that's not what I'm doing. And you better learn in the first year of face reading not to do that all the time. So usually I switch off.
Now, how much training goes behind this? I mean, we talked a little bit off the air, and we'll get into more about it, Eric, about the kind of training a little bit. You know, law enforcement goes through interview and interrogation. We're trained, to read body language. Like you said, I think 75-80% of nonverbal communication, it's body language. But what goes into, how long, it took you 15 years to get to the point where you are, or how long did it take you to get a really good grasp on it, or are you still learning?
And I'm still learning. Yeah, that's right. And everybody learns faster. Sure. The good thing that I can tell about is you don't learn something completely new. You have that skill already inside you. So it's more like an awakening, something that you have already in your hypothalamus, in your brain, that has to be stimulated. And then you strengthen it like a muscle. It's like a workout. And the more you do it a day, the stronger you get in it. And of course, some athletes are better than other athletes. Some have to train more, others less. So there is no general rule about it. The only thing that I can tell is the moment you start learning it, that moment you already know more than any other who doesn't.
Yeah.
So even after, let's say, a weekend of learning face reading, you start to develop superpowers.
And people are always like, Eric, you're at a party, and Eric, people are like, Eric, what's this guy thinking right here? What's his face telling you?
It's interesting. The face reader I've been in my first year, that year I found it absolutely great what I was able to see. Now looking back, I would say, oh, wow, that was very basic. Yeah. But on the other hand, it was great that moment. So. Yeah. It's exactly the right thing for that right moment. So I would now no longer compare myself with anyone doing that for 60 years, maybe an old Chinese master, or someone who does that for a year. It could be that the one who does that for the year is in that moment right now the better face reader.
And I like what you talk about, Eric, with when you, this has been going on for thousands of years with different mm-hmm. cultures from around the world. Mm-hmm. And you talk about it again, about it all being about the eyes in the mouth. With the face. Can you explain that?
Yeah. When we look on a smiley, it's very clear. It's a circle, it's two dots and a line. That could mean anything. I mean, people are imaginative and they are creative. So let's say we have 100 people. It would be logic that let's say 40 of those 100 would say it's a face, while another 30 would say, oh, it's a plate with two apples and a cucumber. You would get different kind of opinions about it. But when you show that anyone on the planet, even a native in Borneo, you show that on a beach, they say it's a face. Mm-hmm. So the image of two dots and a line in a circle for everyone on the planet is a face. And the reason is eyes and mouth are the most powerful features in a face. Mm-hmm. The main reason for that is that eyes and mouth are directly connected with the brain via the facial nerve, and most of our muscles that we have in our face are exactly located at eyes and mouth. So quickest reaction, fastest changes can be seen exactly there.
And I remember telling my wife how when I first met her, and I tell her every day how beautiful she is, but I remember the thing, the aspect of her face that really, really captivated me were her eyes.
Yeah. I mean, and the eyes are the window of the soul. I mean, that sounds really esoteric, but you could really say the eyes are the window of the brain because via the optical nerve, eyes are connected with the brain. So when we fall in love, we fall in love with the brain of someone else, means thoughts, dreams, emotional world as well. So it's very often we say, oh, your blue eyes, but we would also fall in love with someone with brown eyes if those eyes reflect what's going on inside our brain.
Yeah.
And that's the case. Yeah.
And I love what you say about nobody ever says I fell in love with your ears. I want to spend the rest of my life with your with your ears.
No, it's maybe an add-on. I love your eyes, but you have beautiful ears. But you're right. I mean, I've never heard something like that. I loved your ears. That's why I wanted to marry you.
Now, how can this type of study and education help law enforcement? I mean, I know you mentioned a little bit off the air about helping law enforcement, I imagine, with different cases around the world. What, the officer out there or the criminal justice professional listening to you or us right now, Eric, how can you help them?
Well, on a very basic level, the face helps us to detect lies or changes in an emotional state or thoughts that are going on. So this is a first little helper, how we can use it. You know, the lie detector, I mean, the machine was for a long time well accepted by a lot of people. Nowadays, more and more say, ah, come on, lie detector, it's a machine. You can cheat the machine like any machine. And it's true, you can do that. But the latest lie detectors developed in Israel, they are connected with the face as well. So they do not only measure blood pressure and the heart and the breath, they also take a look on the face to try to find out, okay, what's the thought now? Is that a lie? So you can use facial expressions for that, movements of the muscles, movements of the eyes. So in law enforcement, it's a very, nothing is 100% accurate,
sure,
but it's a relatively accurate tool to detect the lie, to find hidden expectations, emotions, or anything that is out of balance. Mm-hmm. So, and to know that something is here out of balance is definitely something that makes you suspicious, and you may want to dig deeper in that kind of situation.
And it's just like, and I imagine it's just like anything else, Eric, where it's, you're not just relying on face reading alone. It's the totality of everything. It's everything put together. Oh, and I'm reading your facial expressions, and that's telling me that there's some deception right there.
You know where I usually start? I usually start by picking up the criminal, the possible criminal, on first floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm usually packed with my laptop or anything in my hands. And when I enter the lift with this guy, I usually say, please press the button, fourth floor, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So by the way how he presses the button, I have a first impression.
Wow.
So if he uses the thumb and in a very expressive way, pressing the lift, I know, oh, wow, here's a lot of confidence, or maybe aggression, depends on the face again. Mm-hmm. But I know here's someone proactive, determined, a self-starter. If he is not willing to use the thumb, he maybe use the elbow even, not even a finger. I know, well, he's someone afraid of germs maybe, but he's definitely not a balanced personality, mm-hmm. right? But most of the people would use the index finger to go to a certain floor, and that would be of no meaning then, because that's okay.
Because a lot of people are doing that.
Yeah, yeah. That would be what we would expect. And on it goes. So I even very often put a cap of coffee or water right in front of the guy, even without asking if he wants, just to see later on if he's playing with the cup.
Now, can somebody, Eric, like you get, can this be beaten is what I'm trying to ask. Can you fake it? You know, you get a sociopath out there who's somebody who's a compulsive liar. Can they kind of manipulate or be aware of how they're putting off their expression? You know what I mean? Am I making sense? Yeah. Can they beat this?
So the hottest group is the so-called pseudologists. I don't know if you heard about them.
No.
It is almost 1% of the population. So those are people who always lie. They even lie for where they do not benefit from. Mm-hmm. So let's say they go to the cinema and then you ask, so how was the movie? Yeah, that was good. So how much did you pay for the ticket? $12, but that's not true. It was $13.50. So this is quite simple. So neurologists try to find out what's behind all of that. There must be something wrong in the brain, but that is almost 1% of the population. Mm-hmm. So with those people, it will be very, very hard to find out if you see a lie or not. Mm-hmm. So because they don't have a belief system that they lie, they're just in their natural status. And if that is natural for them, it's really hard to find out. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy to find out a lie if you know a person, because then you know the person is not in the natural balance, is out of a balance while the person is lying, and then it's very easy to find out. That's why we are very good in detecting lies in the family. Mm-hmm. And we have a hard time in detecting a lie in someone's face that we don't know. It can be beaten, of course, but it's very hard to have a fake face for longer than a certain time. I usually tell people, when someone shows an emotion in his or her face for longer than 5 seconds, it's definitely a fake, any emotion.
So Eric, if people pick up your book, Read the Face, what can they take away from it? I know we've been talking a lot about it during the show, but what can they expect from the book?
Well, first of all, we have to say that people are very individual. So I guess that everyone will take something different out of the book. The book is very diverse. It talks about topics like health or life purpose or things that deal with law enforcement. So it might be everyone takes something out of the book in a different kind of way, but there is definitely a headline for all of them. It is that we may not trust so much on a first appearance, on words and business cards and all that, but we trust a lot more on how people interact, not only with the body, also with the face. And I think that is a main essence, and you get a lot of credit for that in the book, and it explains why it works and how it works.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I was going to ask you, and I was going to ask you before, Eric, is you've done a lot of work, like we've talked about, with law enforcement, correct? And you trained law enforcement, government. Have you ever had to testify in court regarding, you know, the science that you've become to be an expert on?
No, and there haven't been anyone in the last, 100 years. Uh-huh. But in ancient times, that was exactly the case. In ancient times, there was in court, there have been people who their mission was to find out how reliable is this person, how loyal. What is the personality of the guy who is now a victim? So in ancient times, there have been face readers in court. Sometimes the lawyer was a face reader. I train lawyers at the moment and even people from the court in face reading. So in ancient times, there have been people who were responsible to find out how reliable is this person? How reliable is the victim or the offender? And that has been lost over all those hundreds of years because of, also machines, lie detecting machines, for example, but also other kind of approaches to understand someone. Mm-hmm.
Do you think in the future, do you think that if the more law enforcement starts utilizing this technique, your techniques, I mean, I'm sure, you know, criminal justice professionals, first responders out there listening to this show, they probably want to incorporate some of what they're learning into their interviews, maybe interrogations. Do you think that there's probably going to be a time that they might have to testify to this, right?
I think you don't have to make predictions. You don't have to be good in that to say that the face will play a more important role in the future. Mm-hmm. You can see that with all those machines that we develop now.
Sure. Face recognition. Biometric machines.
Exactly. So I don't think we should only relate that to machines. I think there will be humans who do that. Mm-hmm. And this lie detecting machines that the Israeli just developed with face recognition, they already do that and they are relevant to the court. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite sure, maybe it's not all over the world, but I'm quite sure that here and there you will find countries that might find it helpful to use people who do what I do. And maybe they have to be psychologists for that plus face reading, or they are pure face readers, or they leave it up to face recognition machines that in the end have been fed by the wisdom of face readers.
Mm-hmm. Now, just you brought up a good, interesting topic. And if we could digress just a minute, Eric, what is your take on, and I hate to put you on the spot, but you this is your forte, I believe, you know, face reading and body language. What What is your take on the use of the polygraph? Because I know there's two sides of the fence. I mean, there's people that really believe in it. There's people that say, you know, it's everything when it comes to deception. What do you think about that?
Well, I tested polygraphs as well. I even had a German TV show where we used the polygraph.
Sure.
The polygraph is an interesting tool to find out lies. Mm. And I say interesting tool because as any machine, you can cheat the machine. And it helps, for example, when you want to cheat the polygraph, it helps a lot if you start lying from the first question on. Because the first questions are very often reference questions. Who are you? What's your favorite dish? Stuff like that. You get very weird messages if you start lying from the beginning. Polygraph is very forceful when you have a person with a low intelligence or if you have a person who has a lot of self-confidence and thinks, well, that machine, what can that do to me? This is more likely than that you make mistakes and that the whole body of yours shows signs, oops, I'm under pressure. So the more you are aware of the possibilities of a polygraph that are really strong, the more you might have more, you're more aware of it, and therefore you will not as likely make mistakes. Mm-hmm. This is my personal point of view. And we see that more and more states who relied on polygraphs now retreat from that. But I'm sure, again, if we implement faces and we implement micro expressions that a face can express, we implement what's going on in a brain, not only heart rate, blood pressure, and all that. And that makes it extremely powerful then.
Yeah, it seems to me that what you're doing would be more reliable once you master it than a polygraph for the very reason you said. I mean, you can kind of cheat the machine. I know from my perspective, Eric, in the years I was in law enforcement, we would only use polygraphs, you know, in the course of investigation, like you said, just to get more information. We weren't allowed to use them. The courts in Colorado generally don't accept that unless both parties agree to the use of a polygraph machine. But it was just an investigative tool for the most part.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Makes sense to me.
We didn't, you know, put that much in it. And then, of course, we would use it, you know, as far as pre-employment. Polygraphs are still used all the time for pre-employment. So... Mm-hmm. Is there any other books? I know I want to talk about, you know, the Read the Face Academy, but is there any more books on the horizon for you?
Well, you mean writing myself or books that I've read and I would recommend?
Well, writing for yourself. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably a plethora of books out there
I just made fun yesterday by talking to a journalist, and I said, well, who knows? Maybe the next book is called Listen to the Face, which is quite funny after Read the Face, Listen to the Face. So, of course, there is so much to tell. I mean, I've spent 15 years with guys who were filled with knowledge about faces and what that means. And I want to really share that. Yeah. And the thing is, especially the Chinese wisdom of face reading has not been really shared. You find some really strange books about all of that. It's a lot of myths also and word to mouth. But a Chinese master was not usually willing to share his knowledge with a Westerner or even a crowd. So they often had just one student. And that changes at the moment as well. My Chinese master, I was the first Westerner he teached. And so there is so much to share with the people and make them aware, hey, your face is not only here to say I'm tired and I look good or I look a little bit sick, what's going on? Your face is your best way to communicate.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much, you know, people, unless you're trained, I mean, they don't realize. I mean, I'm learning everything. I'm absorbing everything that you're telling me. And it really is, I don't think people realize how much information is in the face. I know I don't until I started talking to you. I mean, it really truly is amazing that what it can reveal.
And it's not only information, it is also a powerful force.
Yeah.
So with the face, you could even manipulate. I mean, not only in a bad way, also in a good way. Mm-hmm. So with your face, you can even change situation. I mean, everybody knows, let's say we have four or five sad people around us and then one is smiling. This smile can be so strong that it might change faces. And this is just a very basic thing. So you can even, a face can be used in a therapy. Maybe I give you that. And you can use it in law enforcement. I worked with criminals and their victims on that as well.
Yeah.
So I had a victim, for example, who was willing to face the guy who once did bad on her. I'm not going in details.
Sure.
And the guy wanted to confess. So he was like full of shame what he did years before, like 5-6 years. And I could see the victim became a very strong female. So they were sitting opposite each other on this table. I was in the middle. And I said, so what we're doing for the next 5 minutes is just looking into each other's eyes. And we are not allowed to look somewhere else. And we do not use a voice. We're not going to be disturbed. And I just look on the two of you, but the two of you just look in each other's eyes. They did that for 5-6 minutes. And out of the sudden, the guy cried. Mm-hmm. He couldn't hold back. He almost broke down. And we had to even call someone to take care of him. So by watching the eyes of the other side getting connected, melted almost, he realized his crime. And that was very powerful, because for him, it was a little bit of a release, but also he felt the shame and the pain. And for the victim, it was very important because she became powerful. She was in charge again. It was a life-changing moment for her. This is not written in the book, but maybe something like that should be written. And also, you can use that as a therapy tool in when you have a relationship. I usually tell couples who have issues with their relationship over the years, and it looks like, well, they will break up. I say, listen, before you could go to a therapist, you know what you can do? You could sit together every night, let's say for 5 minutes, and just look in each other's eyes. No voice, no music, nothing. Just look into each other's eyes. Because by doing this, you connect on a deeper level. Or in a scientific way, you produce hormones like endorphins, for example, that connect you. And that is a therapy, and that is a strong bond. It brings people together.
And maybe with, you know, that's great advice, Eric. And, you know, I was just thinking, you know, maybe with people that are heading down that road of maybe breaking up, you know, this would be an amazing tool to at least try. I mean, put your phones down. We are living in a world of just constant distraction, and it seems maybe we just get back to the simple things. Like you said, turn the music off, just sit there. But I think a lot of us, we're just so on the go all the time, and a lot of times, in my opinion, this can save, you know, relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just mm-hmm. take 5 minutes out of your busy day. It really is amazing to me. It's fascinating to me, and you know this, Eric, that this practice has been going on for thousands of years, and that somewhere along the way, I'm sure, with the exception of you and probably other people, you found it again, you're immersed in it, but it just seems like it's amazing how we lose things over time, if you know what I'm saying. We lose that education because we're so distracted in this day and age. Yeah.
We have to reinvent it, and we have to prove it with scientific standards, maybe. And of course, a lot of that is not science at the moment, but the only reason is science is not existing for 3,000 years. It's a 100-year-old thing. And now we should have to have a closer look on what people said 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. It might be still relevant. We will be surprised.
Yeah. Now let's switch gears a little bit, Eric, and talk about, you know, for the people out there that are listening, whoever, criminal justice professional, whoever's listening to the show, talk about the Face Reading Academy and what you offer.
Well, the Face Reading Academy was originally founded in Hong Kong. When I finished the time with my master in Hong Kong, I, took a closer look, and I saw that I was not only in the mood to give sessions to people with health issues, and here and there helped a police officer to be better skilled in what he's doing. I also wanted to offer the knowledge of face reading to a greater audience. And so I had to found that school because there was no one else doing it. I tried to find out, okay, where can I learn that? Maybe in a school, in a university, is that possible? And I found little evidence in Shanghai and a little bit in Berkeley. It depend on what you wanted to know, but there was no university or school that offered the whole knowledge of face reading. So my idea was to start with that in Hong Kong because I know I will not have the usual skeptics there. I have more people who are curious or just interested in it. And so the idea was to start it there and then spread the word everywhere and find people who want to learn it and then establish a school themselves somewhere where they live. So the Face Reading Academy is now based in Hong Kong, but it's me, wherever I am the teacher, I am the academy, but I wanna invite a lot of people to learn it from me or from others and then become their own school or take it to the schools, to the academies.
And you have a team that you work with, right, Eric, that also provides this training?
Exactly. So it worked well out in Europe. So we have already 7 teachers in the center of Europe. So for example, in the German language world, like Germany, Austria, Switzerland. But now we just got a guy in Colombia for the Spanish world, but also one in Croatia and a Russian one. So it's spreading more over. And I will have a teacher soon in Hong Kong. So it's getting bigger and bigger. And my goal is to definitely find people and also train people who want to be ambassadors of face reading and for the Face Reading Academy in the US.
That's amazing. Such fascinating material, sir. And if people want to find you and your great team and what else, and find more information about you and your academy, where can they go?
Well, the first step would be definitely if you just go on my website, ericstandup.com, or you go on readtheface.com. And if you're not sure, well, watch the few YouTube videos I've provided, the TED Talk and maybe my talk from the World Government Summit in Dubai, or you read the book, Read the Face. And then, you know, yeah, that takes me further. That takes me away. I want to know more of that. And then just write me an email. It's still easy to get access to me, and I hope that will never change because as a face reader, you want to have a direct contact.
Yes. And the TED Talk and your book and your Read the Face and your personal website is going to be all up in the show notes. Eric Standup, thank you so much, sir, for coming on the show. Very fascinating, very educational, and I can't wait to read your book.
Thank you so much for having me.
And anything we can do in the future, Eric, please, you have my information. Please reach out, sir.
I will definitely do. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.